Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to a Mouse Clubhouse Conversation.
Hi, this is Scott Wolf, and this conversation is with Miriam Nelson. Miriam's work as a dancer and choreographer is legendary, spanning Broadway, Las Vegas, movies, television, and even Disneyland. Long before working for Disney, Miriam was a choreographer in the golden age of Hollywood. The list of celebrities she's worked with is like a who's who of Hollywood, working on movies such as The Jolson Story, T for Two, Hawaii, and Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice, to name a few. After I met Miriam, I started spotting her in all kinds of shows and films. I saw her in the classic film Breakfast at Tiffany's, and on television I happened to see her in shows such as Father Knows Best and Leave It to Beaver. It still surprises me when she pops up in some of the old shows I enjoy watching. Although she would work on those shows in special situations when they might need some choreography, she often managed to appear on camera as well. The reason Miriam was introduced to me was because of her place in Disney history. For the opening day of Disneyland, which was broadcast on live television, Miriam was the choreographer for many of the dances that day. She was often brought back to Disney for other projects, such as the live Disney on Parade Traveling Arena show, and various editions of my favorite Disneyland show, The Golden Horseshoe Review, including when the show was sent to the White House to perform for President Nixon. I loved any time I got to spend talking with Miriam. We worked together once on a memorial tribute I produced for my dear friend, jazz pianist Paige Kavanaugh, and Miriam shared some stories of her time working with Paige on the movie Lullaby of Broadway. It was a particular treat for me when I was invited to a show Miriam was in, and I got to see her do a tap dance live, and she was great, at 88 years old. To begin this interview from 2008, I asked Miriam about some of her favorite people she's worked with. Here's Miriam Nelson.
Oh gosh, so many. I've loved so many people. I get crushes on people, you know. I loved working with Ingrid Bergman because I've always admired her so much. Yeah. And so that was wonderful, you know, when I got to teach her how to disco.
Did you?
Yeah, in The Cactus Flower. There's a scene in there, she's in a discotheque and she has to dance, you know. Oh, wow. And so I had to teach her some steps. And she was great. That was fun. And Bette Davis.
Yeah.
And I weathered that one.
Oh, really?
No, she was fine.
Oh, okay. I had heard stories.
Now, it's funny. We talked about the Can-Can, right, out at Disney?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And I had to teach her the Can-Can.
Bette Davis?
Bette Davis.
Well, why did you teach her the Can-Can?
There was a friend of hers, I believe it was, produced a television show called Wagon Train.
Mm-hmm.
And he had this idea. It was, I think, she had done a lot of movies, and now she was kind of quiet, or he was a good friend. I don't know. Must have been. But his idea was that she would be in charge of these dancing ladies and go across the country in a covered wagon.
Okay.
And, of course, the show that I did, one of the girls can't make it. You know, she gets sick, so Betty has to go on in her place. So she had to learn the can-can.
Are those the only two places you've taught the can-can, rather?
No, periodically. I just did it in, what was the show? Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah.
They have a little... Yeah, wicked kind of a can-can in that.
Where was that? That was
in Downey.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I've done six old shows now down there. But that one had a can-can.
Have you ever come across anyone where you just said, you know what, this is hopeless. It's just not going to happen.
Well, a few times, but yeah. I've made it happen.
Yeah.
You just have to make it happen.
Yeah.
I did a show called Artlink Letters Talent Scouts. It was every week on television, live. And we had, you know, very little time to make a star out of, you know, whoever we had to work with.
Yeah.
The music
Is
people.
Is that what
would,
the show was? It was amateurs who were...
Amateurs. Oh, wow. And this one fellow, I can see him today. I don't know what happened to him. But he was singing this song and he kept beating his leg all the time, you know. And I kept saying, don't do that. Oh, okay. He'd start singing and it would go back again. And so you get desperate. At the end, because now the next time we go through it, it's on. And I said, well, you look like an amateur. He, what? What do you mean? I said, well, you look like an amateur, hitting your leg like you don't know what to do with your hands.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he stopped it.
Really?
Oh, yeah. But you have to use really, you know, pretty drastic measures.
Right.
I said, no time to be polite, nothing. Yeah. You just have to get it on the best way you can.
Yeah.
And when somebody gets shook up and you're told you look like an amateur, you go, oh, my God, you know, I better pay attention to this.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You were in the Jolson story.
Yes.
What did you, I think I know, but what did you do in the Jolson story?
What do you think you know?
I want to get your words. I think you were the stand-in for Evelyn in the Liza number. Is that true?
It wasn't stand-in. It was
double.
I doubled her.
Yeah.
I did. I was hired to choreograph that number.
Yeah.
And they put me on a sound stage with a playback man, and, you know, we kept going and going, and I thought, how many ways can I come down a stair?
Yeah.
And I guess I was a few weeks doing this. And so all of a sudden I'm told the bosses are coming over to see it. Harry Cohen, who owned Columbia,
mm-hmm.
Al Jolson, Evelyn, the director, the, you know, everybody. It was all of a sudden all these chairs came in and ashtrays and little tables and a plant, you know. It was really funny, you know, see it all come in.
So they were coming to see you show the dance, but you were not supposed to be the one to do the dance.
No.
Evelyn would have been doing the dance.
Right. So they saw the dance. Well, my story is that nobody introduced me to anybody. They just said, okay, let's see it, you know, that kind of a thing. And I did the dance. And then there was a big quiet. And all of a sudden, Harry Cohen said, come here, a little closer. So I walk over, and then he says, Evelyn, stand up next to her. And she did. You know, we're both standing there, and he's talking to this one and talking to that one. And then he finally says, will you double her?
Oh, yeah.
And he said, it would take her, I don't know how long, to learn all of that. And we'll have a costume made, a double costume, and a red wig. She had on, she had red hair in that movie. And I wound up doing it, you know.
Yeah.
So
we're seeing the wide shots, really, and the real dancing.
She's not in, she only thing she's in up here, two close-ups. And it's when she almost falls, and she loses it and doesn't know he's in the audience. He gets up and starts to sing,
okay, yeah.
Cut back to her,
yeah.
Ah, and now I go, you know, the rest of the way. Then she, I always say, I did the dance, she took the bow.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you, now you said Al Jolson went to the set. Did you get to meet him?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, he was there when I did the dance. At the end, they were all leaving as, you know, Harry Cohen was telling everybody, you know, you get the costume and you sure get the wig and blah, 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 blah. And Jolson hung up a little bit longer as they were leaving. And he came back in and he said, you know, everybody loved the number, but nobody bothered to tell you. And I just wanted you to know that.
Aww.
Isn't that nice?
Really? Did you work in Burbank for anything? Did you do any of their shows on the studio lot?
No. I had an office there.
Did you?
What I was doing, Disney on Parade.
Was it a big arena show?
It was the arena show.
Okay.
And it was a big dancing show. Isn't that funny? I just thought of something and I thought, well, maybe that's why I mixed it up in my head. NBC took over that show once it was finished.
Right. Right.
Disney developed it.
Larry told me that, yeah.
Ah.
Disney developed the whole show. I wasn't on that. I think I was developing that show almost a year.
Right.
It was a big show.
Really?
Choreographed it and came up with all the ideas for all the numbers. Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Even the monkeys, the fluorescent monkeys.
Yeah. It was so pretty, the ball gowns that lit up. Was that Cinderella's ball, I think. The funniest thing that I remember, I didn't know how long it would take group of people to get out on stage, right?
Yeah.
Ice skating, blackout, zoop, light up, they're there, mm-hmm. you know? But, and with costumes on a lot of the times, how to travel. At Disney Studio in Burbank,
right.
My office, the building, I guess it was a square building. Well, my office was here, and there were offices around, and there was a hallway. It went all around in a square, and offices were off of that.
Okay.
So I was telling you, I didn't know how fast it could get them out there.
Oh yeah.
So I took my stopwatch and a pencil and a ruler thing, and I would make, I think I would time like just walking, normal walking. Boom. Put a mark. That's how long it took to walk there. The next time I would skip. Then I would run. And the office next to me was, I don't know who he was, but he was a music writer. And after a while, he'd see me start running by his office, and he'd start playing, she's late, for a very important date, a time to say hello, goodbye, she's late. And by then, I'd be gone. Disney built a table for me to size, the size of the arena floor. And they built little characters for me that I could play with, you know, the little models. And then I could do, you know, like cut out clothes and things and stick them on and all kinds of fun things.
Had you ever had that before on anything you worked on where they gave you a little model?
I don't remember that I had. I always make my own little thing, but it's not like anything you wouldn't know what the heck I was doing, you know, if you saw it. But in fact, one time I was having lunch with a girlfriend in at this restaurant, and I got this idea, and I was working on a show, charity show, and I had that sugar cube, so I'm getting all the sugar cube, moving them around and placing them, you know. And I know she, every once in a while, she'll say, well, have you been playing with sugar cubes lately? It goes back to designing a show. Those big arena shows, there's something, you know.
Was that different for you, being that it was an arena show, or was there more people in it?
Oh, yeah. At the beginning, they cut back, I think, after a little while.
Oh.
Because it took, I don't know how many trucks to truck all the scenery.
It was traveling, right? It was
traveling. Yeah, but I dreamed up an idea. What was it? The Alice in Wonderland and the crazy teacups. And I thought, oh, it'd be fun to have like a big table. And at some point, it's like the Mad Hatter, you know, is part of that. Teacups on the table, spoons going around. Well, there were people underneath it. I mean, it was big. And at one point, the whole thing comes apart. In like slices came apart, went all over the place, and, you know, went off.
Oh.
And crazy stuff you dream up. You know, whatever you dream up, they build it.
The opening of Disneyland, how did that come about?
I had worked at NBC on Bob Hope and Colgate Comedy Hour and, you know, a lot of shows.
Yeah.
And so I guess one of those producers, because I don't remember that I had ever worked for him, but I guess he knew of me or something. But it was NBC going to photograph the opening, or the day before the opening, really.
Oh, okay.
Before the opening to the public.
Right. NBC, though. But this show aired on ABC, so this was something.
Did it really?
I
thought he was NBC. Am I wrong?
Yeah, that was ABC.
Holy mackerel. I don't remember working at ABC.
Yeah.
Oh, isn't that
I did.
Funny?
My first was CBS, and then I went to NBC. But the man's name was Sherman Marks. He produced the opening show.
So Sherman Marks got you involved.
He called me and had me come in for a meeting.
Yeah.
And I remember he said, you know, it's going to be a cast of hundreds of people. How are you going to handle that? And I said, I don't know. I'm just going to have a yell louder. And he hired me. So
you didn't know really what it was even going to be for?
No.
Had you known at that time much about Disneyland, that it was going to be coming?
Not at all. I knew there was a park being built, you know, but that's all. It's so funny now they call it a resort.
What do you remember? What happened after that? Did they tell you, because you ended up doing a lot of different things for that?
Yeah, I did. I had dancers that I hired, you know, from and rehearsed here in town, and then we all moved out there. And a lot of them were the characters in the opening parade, I remember.
Did you work on the parade as well then?
The opening was kind of a parade coming in with all the people.
Did you have to be at each location when the dancing was going on?
Yep.
I
ran from land to land.
Tell me about that day. I would love to know. I would love to have been at the opening day of Disney.
Each land had its own director, television director. And Jack Regas, that I mentioned, was my assistant that opening day. I remember a whole group of cowboys came up, and the one said, where do you want all the horses and the cowboys? I'm thinking, I don't know, you know. So I picked out a good-looking one for the White Knight and a villain for the Black Knight, so the opening of the drawbridge, they would say.
Oh, yeah,
remember
that?
And then we had horses come into Frontierland, I remember. That was a scene, and my assistant was standing at the flagpole in the middle, kind of directing, so some would go this way, some would go that way, and he was scared to death of horses.
Oh, no.
I didn't know it until the show was over, and then he told me. And, oh, Lordy, they had a big truck to put the dancers on to take them in a hurry to the next land where they had to change clothes.
Oh, they were the same dancers?
Same,
in the
dancers.
Same dancers.
Wow.
Oh, gosh, there was so much. It's hard to know what to tell you. They lost the dancers once.
Oh, no.
Yeah. The driver didn't know where he was. You know, the back roads out
yeah.
there? And the dancers are all saying, no, it's this way. I'm sure it's that way.
And did they make it there on time?
Made it on time. But yeah. this one, I'm trying to remember. I think it was New Orleans. And I remember we had girls sort of up on a balcony, those wrought iron things. And I had the boys were going to slide down these poles. And they said, oh, they can't do that. We just painted them. The whole show was like that.
Oh, really?
It was crazy.
Yeah.
So what did you do? You just had to change...
Yeah, I had to change
did
it.
Did you go down to the park beforehand to see it?
Oh, sure. We rehearsed out there.
You did?
We rehearsed here in town, and then, like, the last week, we were out
okay.
there. I was told that the people who worked out there were allowed to have their children come to be, like, the guests, they call them. Like we would say, an audience or something. They're all guests,
right.
You know that.
Right.
There were just going to be, you know, maybe 20 kids or something, and I had worked this whole thing out when the... drawbridge, and the kids are going to run into
right.
the castle.
Yeah, they all ran it, sure.
And I had, like, the rabbit. All those were my dancers in costumes.
Really?
Yeah, they were in costumes. And
I
they were, oh, they waited so long before the parade started.
Really?
Because they came
so
down Main,
hot.
And in those hot, it was so hot that day. I thought, they're all going to keel over
yeah.
you know, if we don't start this thing.
Yeah.
It would be like the rabbit was assigned to pick up kids and put them on the saucers, and another person was...
Yeah.
Pick them up and put them on the merry-go-round. You know,
right.
they all had, but never rehearsed because we never had any of the kids.
Right,
they just
room.
Knew what, you know, what
take
they were supposed
way,
to do.
Yeah. Spread out the kids in Fantasyland.
Now. Right. Well, the dancers are supposed to go across the bridge, you know, hippity-hop, and then toward camera, you know, come on. And the kids were all going to be running from behind the camera, follow them into the, they went, come here, and there's hundreds of kids.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They were going crazy, putting that one here and that one there. You know, they were throwing them on rides. It was like hundreds of kids.
Yeah.
That they thought, you know, when they see them coming at them,
oh,
they scared. They turned and ran.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, that was hysterical. And, oh, New Orleans section opened with a little boy tap dancing. We're all ready to do that, and nobody can find the little boy. And so somebody said, I think he's down by the riverboat. Well, my assistant, Jack, ran down there. There's the kid with his hand in the water,
oh,
you know,
no.
la-di-da. And he picked him up, carried him back,
oh.
put him on his mark, jumped out, and the red light went on, and he was on.
Oh.
I mean, we were live.
Yeah.
Have you worked in live television before that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you have?
That's, I started on Red Skelton was my first television show.
Oh.
And I did that for about a year. And Bob Hope was live.
Oh, sure, yeah.
All of those shows.
Yeah.
Colgate Comedy
okay,
Hour.
Yeah.
All live shows.
Yeah. So at least that part you were...
Oh, that... I'm used to crazy.
But not...
Yeah.
You know? but this was more than crazy.
A little bigger than crazy.
We've heard stories like women's heels were sinking into the cement on Main Street.
I wouldn't be surprised. I'm sure I had on sneakers.
Yeah.
Running around. I know that in Frontierland, we... had this dance, and
yeah.
it was supposed to be cement, and it wasn't. It was gravel and
oh,
dirt.
Really?
And so they're dancing and kicking up the dirt, you know.
Yeah, but that's one where you had Davy Crockett and...
Yeah, and Buddy Upson.
Buddy Upson singing, or Fess Parker. Buddy Upson
right.
singing.
Bang went old Betsy with
old
that
Betsy.
Gun. My bang went old Betsy guns.
Yeah.
A lot of them broke.
Really?
We were so lucky. I don't know what I did, but something like the boys are holding the guns and the girl put her foot up on it and does a flip up.
Oh, yeah.
And we had been rehearsing with just a piece of doweling.
Mm.
And it was fine. Now we get the guns, and a lot of them broke. But the shot they had on camera, that one didn't break. So how lucky can you get?
You know,
oh, some broke in the actual show. But
oh,
not
yeah.
on camera.
Not the one on camera. They had a bad time.
There was something in Tomorrowland, but that was more of a marching band. Were you involved in...
Tomorrowland, I did a lot of shows out there after the park opened.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh,
I kept going back and doing shows.
Were you employed by Disney ever?
I wasn't, like, under contract to them,
oh,
but on a show-by-show thing.
What kind of shows did you do in Tomorrowland afterwards?
Dancing Girls.
Really?
And they would do a number, and we would have a guest star.
Oh, okay.
But they would change the guest star, I think, every week.
Was it every week?
I think so.
Yeah, I know they had the greatest. With the opening day.
Kept bringing me back to that.
It's so interesting.
Tomorrow is the anniversary of Disneyland.
Oh, that's right.
So it's 53 years ago tomorrow.
53.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Boy, and look at that.
It's impossible, you know, when I think about it.
Did you get to meet Walt at all when you were out there?
Who?
Walt Disney?
Yeah. He walked by a few times when I was rehearsing out there.
Yeah.
And one time he said, I think he wrote me a note and I could kill myself. I didn't know that all those things would have been so, if I had saved them.
I know.
You don't think. Yeah. Or a picture with him, you know, anything. Yeah. I could have if I'd had any brains.
Yeah.
But he wrote a note, would I please have the girl dancers be more covered up? Because it was so hot, they were wearing like little halter tops, you know, shorts.
The rehearsal, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Because the workmen were slowing down, watching the girls.
Oh.
Now he wrote it really, it was cute.
Yeah.
You know, when I think about it. Yeah, he made a joke out of it.
Did you actually meet him, too?
Yeah. Oh, sure. This is another story. Sherman Marks, who really had thought through in his head what this whole thing was, you know, going to be.
Right.
And he had what they called a central control booth built. And there were other booths in different lands. They might have been behind. I can't visualize where they were. I know I ran in and out of booths. But the directors, while they were rehearsing, I think it was the night before we had to do the show, they're doing their shots, they're calling their shots, and Sherman could hear everybody from every booth. He was connected to everybody. And he would say, no, I think it ought to be blah, 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 blah. Now the directors were getting pretty upset. And they had a little meeting, and I went to it, and they decided they weren't going to do this show because they were being told too much, you know, and it's too late to be quibbling. Now they've got to get it on. And Walt obviously found out about it. I don't remember how, but he said, all of you who want to do the show, be in my office in a half an hour at Disneyland. And if you don't want to do it, you know, it's goodbye. Now I'm sitting there with the directors, and they're saying, what are we going to do? We can't just walk out. You know, that's not very professional.
Right.
What shall we do? They decided they would take off the headset, not hear him give any instructions at all, and they would do their show. They would call their shots wouldn't hear him.
Sherman.
Yeah. That's and horrible. They would do the shots they had worked out. You know, they had all their shots on there. Used to put them on paper.
Yeah.
Or the AD would have them all, and he would be setting them up each time, you know, for the director to call it. Well, we went to the office. Everybody went, and it was like, yeah, we're going to do the show, and, you know, there's no disgruntled. It's going to be fine.
Yeah.
And it was so late, they sent us to motels. They got motel rooms. So we didn't have to go all the way home and come all the way back, because the next day we had to be back early to do run-throughs, you know, before we went on camera. Went to a motel, and I was told I would be in room whatever. And I went in, and there were twin beds, and there was a girl asleep. Looked like she was asleep. I thought, who is that? You know, and I think it was like the script girl or somebody like that they had put up. And she's holding a cigarette, and it was almost down to her fingers. Fell asleep in bed with a cigarette. I remember that pretty good. So I went over and I took the cigarette out of her hand and put it out and got to bed, washed out my underwear because I didn't bring anything. Nobody brought anything. You know, they had to borrow or buy razors for the guys to shave. And we just wore the same clothes back that we had on the day of the rehearsal. I was going to tell you, I was invited to Fez Parker's. He has a place up by the wine country.
Mm-hmm.
You been up there?
No, not yet. Hopefully.
Well, he couldn't have been nicer. And my friend Rusty, She I don't know how she gets into more things. She says, we're going up to see, you know.
Yeah.
And she said, I told him about you. And he said, I remember her. She had to teach us how to dance or something. Well, he just couldn't have been nicer. He had us for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you know, treated us. And Rusty and I had a beautiful big room together. It was terrific. So yeah. She's a character. She's got us booked now. We're going to Germany in November.
Wow.
And do what they call a master class. She gets me these things. She'll say, you want to go too, you know. I've gone to Finland, Sweden, London, New York recently. I was honored in New York, and then I taught a master class. But it's amazing, you know, tap dancing. It's taken me everywhere.
That's great.
So wasn't I lucky?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just think it's amazing.
We hope you've enjoyed this Mouse Clubhouse conversation. Thank you for joining us.